I wish to express my gratitude to this congregation by kindly inviting me to be here this morning. I was here, I think, maybe 3 years ago, and this indeed has become a powerful second home for me. And I usually come for other meetings in the other room, so it's very close to my heart, this place, really close. That's why, you know, when I was invited back, my heart was glad, really glad. This morning, before we venture into what we've prepared this morning, I just want to do a little ad for that beautiful place that's being created on 156 and 16th, Bellevue Urban Gardens. Teabag, it's gorgeous and it's going to be even more amazing, so I invite you to come there and see. There we have also created, I call it the largest heart in Bellevue, physically speaking. So you should come and see. Amazing things are happening right there, and we want you to be really part of it. We involve a lot of kids, a lot of, you know, parents. So it's become really a common ground and the people's place. Now, I'm going to take you on a field trip. And it's time I think of a field trip, I get really excited, and I'm sure you do. Because a field trip has, you know, those elements of adventure and just kind of curiosity, just all kinds of imagination runs through our minds when we think field trip. This particular field trip is going inside our hearts and seeing what's really there, the treasure that we hold. And especially for this morning, as we revisit the heart, I want you to pay really close attention, because many, many times we skim through and don't really spend time listening and observing what's inside our hearts. And I'm not talking about the physical heart. The first question I need to ask is, what's the mission of the heart? The heart has a mission. What's that mission? I remember reading a quote by Dr. Maxwell Maas, and this is what he said. He said, "We are built to conquer environment, to solve problems and achieve goals. And we find no real satisfaction in life, no real satisfaction or happiness in life without goals to conquer, without goals to achieve and obstacles to conquer." And that really registered deeply in my heart. Because the heart is always searching. And the beauty of the heart is that it knows. Really, if we sit still and observe, the heart knows. But sometimes we wander away from the heart into treacherous waters. And many times we get in trouble. And in this day and age when so much is happening around us, the heart is experiencing a lot of pain. And not only pain, in many instances, the heart almost collapses. I'll give you two stories that are close to home. One story is about a gentleman, a young man, just gotten married, beautiful wife, life is exciting, and only to lose the wife because the wife had a heart condition. And some of you may know this person. His name is Gotye. He's a musician. And so 4 weeks later, he had to gather the courage to go on American Idol and sing in honor of the wife. And right now, he's doing extremely well. But most of his songs are based on his experience with his wife and the loss. It was such a deep loss. And even to find courage to sing was just incredible. And so When the physical heart collapses, and you and me know what happens, that's the end of us in terms of living here on earth. The other story is about my niece. My niece was born here at Overlake Hospital, and the day he was born, the doctor said, we're in trouble. She has a defective heart, so they had to rush her to a children's hospital in Seattle. And that little girl suffered for almost 1.5 years, and we were in and out of hospital. It was a painful experience. And then finally we all were getting ready to just say, well, I think it was a good time to have her around. And so the doctors were preparing us as families, and then we had good news. She said, somebody had donated the heart. But it's not always easy because the body may reject the heart. And so the first day when they did the heart transplant, we were all, you know, closing our fingers and just, you know, in prayer and just, you know, hoping that she would make it. And the first day was really rough, you know, and we almost gave up. A few days later, she came back. And now, she's a beautiful girl. She still have problems with speech because of what she went through. But if you came to the farm, she owns that place. She's vibrant. She's just like, I'm going, wow, day and night. Yeah. So the heart is really important. And so when I was thinking about today, there are three things that came to my mind. The why, the where, and the when. The why is just, why do we have to delve into the heart? Why? Why spend time going inside our heart and exploring? The why is really easy because, like, physically, you know the importance of the heart. And surely, if we turn it around, the importance of that inner being that makes you, your life vibrant, that gets you out there doing amazing stuff in the community, you know, helping others, that is another piece that's really, really important. Your inner being, your inner heart. But that has to be fed too, you know. That has to be taken care of. Otherwise, if that collapses, like in many instances in our day and age, we are seeing because of the pressure, there's a lot of turmoil that's going on in many hearts. But the solution is really easy. It's simple. It's not something that is really like, oh, humanity, we can't do this. Because as a race, as humanity, we are resilient. And the triumphs of humanity and the struggles they come from the heart. And so, if that's that important, then we need to do something about this heart. And so, I was thinking, why? What should it take to revitalize our hearts? Some of us are doing well. Others, they're just there, barely making it. Because, again, of the pressures that the world brings to us. But I tell you this morning that we can be resilient. We can be powerful. We can generate enthusiasm around about us. And we can be the source of inspiration. But how do we go about it? Easy. Well, easier said than done. I think of love. And we talk a lot about love. So when I look at love, and once again, what I'm going to say is nothing new. You know about it, but we just have to emphasize it this morning. When we say love is patient, then we have to be patient daily. Today I have to be patient. And I know my patience will be tested. I know I'll face all kind of challenging situations where my patience will really be tested. But my encouragement to you and to myself this morning is, be patient daily, not just today. Tomorrow, the following day, keep being patient. And usually I tell myself, keep running until you fly. Let's go even deeper. Love is kind. I say be kind every day. And the practice of it is just amazing. And you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait to go outside this place to be kind. Right to where you're sitting, you can turn your head and say, maybe don't even say anything, just pat someone on the back. They will understand your message. If someone is struggling, be kind and gentle to them. Just be that. If you are that today, this moment, this minute, and you keep doing that, you'll be like a flower in a garden. That's why you should come to the garden and see lots of beautiful flowers. Then you just emanate, radiate vibrance. And people will be wanting to be around you. You know how we take flowers when someone is sick? And then their faces light up? They can light up when they see you. When you look in their eyes, when you embrace them, or maybe when you just pat them on the back. Please, me and you, let's be kind daily. Let's be generous daily. Let's talk about peace. Of course, you agree with me that we are living in troubled times, and peace has become a rare commodity. But, you know, we can start today where we are, rearranging our heart. And instead of waiting for peace to come to you, you be the giver of peace. Don't wait. And you know one thing I've learned when I'm in the garden? When I'm trimming and pruning and, you know, harvesting, like the rhubarb, they say, good, now I'll produce more. That's really what happens in our hearts. You know, when we give out, we are not at loss. When we become conduits of peace, we are not at loss. It's not like, oh, my goodness, I've given all my peace and there's no peace in my heart. No, no, no. There's even more abundant peace. I mean, you go there and everyone wants to hug you. Everyone wants to kiss you. More comes. So just be a conduit of peace. Love also, you know, does many things. One more thing is that when you look at your neighbor or somebody else, just don't envy. You know, don't envy. Don't say, they've bought the Lamborghini, I'm going to buy a plane. You know, we become like that sometimes. Oh, look at that dress. I'm going to Nordstrom right away. My encouragement to you and to me is that as we are content with what we have, and as, you know, we are blessed with even more, just be content. Then the heart is happy. Then the heart is vibrant, because that's what we're trying to do, really, to make our heart. Like I told you, when my niece was having problems, the heart was not beating at regular beating. I said, like us, when it goes through stuff, the heart is kind of, the inner heart is not beating as well. I said, the one thing you can do if you want that heart to beat again is be a giver. Just do that daily, not just one day, daily, every hour. Yes, it's difficult, but the more you practice, the more it becomes easier. I'll give you my personal experience. Part of my background is I'm a lighting designer, so I'm always looking up and say, okay, lights. And so one of the things I used to do when I used to work for Seattle Lighting, I'd prepare my heart before I go to work. Literally, in the bathroom, I'll just kind of rehearse. I'm going to be happy today. I'm going to love my customers. You know, I'll work myself. Really? You know, you may think it's silly, but I didn't think so. And so each time I went there to do my business, there would be customers lining up. They all wanted me to work with them. And people said, why can't they work with that person? And I would actually say, you see, you can also work with them. I said, no, no, we work for you. Well, what I realized was I'd prepared my heart beforehand. And so, I didn't want them to come to me, but that life, that joy was just coming, and they wanted to work with me. So, what I'm encouraging you and me is, as we go deeper in our hearts and harvest the beautiful stuff that the heart provides, then we'll make the world just a little bit better. The other thing I wanted you to remember is, like, where should we do this? We are always looking for opportunities. Once again, opportunities are always right in front of us. Right in front of us. Could be at our workplace. It could be at home. Wherever you are, wherever you're walking. And one of the things I do, I usually carry seeds in my pocket. And sometimes I'll deliberately drop them in a package. And I'll ask the lady, I'll say, "Oh lady, total stranger, you dropped that, is that yours?" They would look at it and say, "No, it's not mine." I said, "It's yours now. It's a gift from me to you." And then we would start a conversation. And it's like we had met many years ago. We've been friends forever. So just go out there, you know, and just do little things. Don't look for big things. Little things. And keep doing it. And every day, your heart will be good, real good. When the doctors check, you're right. You say, "Yes, good." I'm talking about the inner heart. And the last thing I really want to leave with you is, which I've already told you, is don't wait. The agency of now. Doing it now. Just now. Don't wait until just now. All the things, all the practices, the simple things that love wants us to do, just do it now. Just do it now. And keep doing it. Don't give up. And I'll say again, it's like keep running until you fly. Really, literally. Because when you do these things, when your heart is full and overflowing, you'll be like the eagle. And you know how beautiful the eagle is. And it just goes and it's soaring over there, looking at stuff that we overlook, you know, because we are just here, close to the earth. The ego says, "There's more to eat." And so, I'm not saying anything that's new today. Mostly I'm here just to encourage you and to encourage myself. And like Sadia said, you know, I'm a true believer in seed. And I spend a lot of time talking about seed because seed is powerful. When you look at it, yeah, it looks ugly. It's small and, you know, like, who cares about seed? But when you put it in the ground, you do give it some water, and then there's some heat. Then it smiles, gives you a sunflower, gives you beautiful, beautiful, beautiful flowers. So we want to see seed in your heart grow and blossom and enrich the Bellevue community and go beyond. It all starts with seed. And that seed is inside your heart right now, today. You know, it's there. Just waiting for you to add some water, some warmth. And the people say, "What happened to you? What have you been doing? Huh, look at your, you know, you've changed. You look gorgeous." You've always been gorgeous. You've always been amazing. So let's go out there and be incredible. And let's start today.